the musicians. Stay with me for a second. Who's heard of the Gaithers? So we're in with Dave this morning. They wrote a fantastic song which Peter's going to perform for you. With a chorus that ties into this particular very relevant sermon. And give me a C. You've got to know what you're doing up here. It's essential. And it went like this. More of you. More of you. I've had it all. But what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill. Do you hear this? But yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Is that your prayer? More of you. More of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. If that's your prayer, sing that today. More of you, more of you. That's Jesus we're talking about. More of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill. Of things I've had my fill. But yet I hunger still. But yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more. Let's sing that one more time. Pray from your heart, more of you and more of you. More of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Then we do this. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. That's the deal. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. Whoa, I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him. Try that again. I want more. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus. So I'll try it one more time. I want more. I want more of Jesus. More. More and more and more. Oh, I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Amen. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful team we have up here, aren't they? We can never stop wanting more of Jesus, okay? That is the goal. If you think you've had enough, you're just starting out. The prayer of our heart should be, Lord, more of Him and less of me. Much more of Jesus in our life. And today there's been a kind of theme going through a lot of stuff about passion and zeal in the Holy Spirit and worship over the last little while. And I'm going to have a couple of Sundays off coming up. But I wanted to bring a word that the Lord laid in my heart. So I'm sorry to say again, this word came right out the oven. Hallelujah. So there's no PowerPoint. There's no scriptures. There's no key points. So if you're writing, write fast. Okie dokie, that's going to be great. Listen to this. I believe in Mossvale. I know already. They're great men. I said, there's great men already in Mossvale. Watch this. There's also great women. God help us. Danny. There's work to be done. Work to be done with the men. They are great men. They are great women of God. Listen, who have always had something inside of them. These kind of people have always got something inside of them that is always hungry for even more. They crave even more. They're greedy for the things of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but believe it or not, I am 56 years old. I know it's hard to believe. I look 66. Being a pastor, it takes its toll. I crave today more than ever the things of the Spirit. Like never before. I crave Jesus more and more in my life. So there's a hunger that never leaves me. Yes, I am always hungry for natural food, you can tell. But I'm always even hungrier for the things of God. And that's the kind of church that He is looking for in these difficult days, last days that we are living in today. You see, there's always more for every one of us to seek. You know, there's more heights to gain. There's stars to reach. There's more to attain in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we think we've arrived, don't we? We kind of think we know how it's all going to play out in our life. But understand this, as much as there's all this to attain and reach and go after, there's a flip side to that, and that is complacency. See, complacency is the hidden enemy of the soul. I can preach this message as one who's been apathetic, who's one who's been lethargic, who one has been complacent in his life. I can preach this message. I can testify to those things when I didn't want to get out of my bed and go to work. I was weary. I was tired. I didn't want to meet with that particular person for coffee because they sucked the very life out of my soul. But I did it anyway. I understand what complacency, lethargy, I understand these things. Listen to this, you're taking notes. Spiritual satisfaction can lead every one of us to a place of spiritual poverty. You hearing this? Hear this today. I think we want to be like Paul, the Apostle Paul, who said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet, to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Our own spiritual complacency, listen to this, keeps men and it keeps women from striving towards the great places within the kingdom of God. Spiritual satisfaction leads to spiritual paralysis, and our soul declines, or our soul diminishes, and we become so much less useless to God, to Jesus. Spiritual complacency or apathy, this has become a vice, and it is the vice of life. Have you noticed today that people don't want to work anymore? There's not a shortage of jobs. It's people don't want to work anymore. Spiritual complacency is a vice that we, in our walk with God, listen to this, in the church, we must fight against every single day of our life. It's vital and it's important. Paul speaks again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 26, 27. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Now, I want to take you through a little story as quickly as I can today. It's not a nice story, but it's a story that's there. Therefore, there's something in this for us today. This is an account in the book of 2 Kings. Have you got your Bibles? You see, because there's no PowerPoint and no scriptures. So Bibles become important to us on mornings such as this. 2 Kings, there's a famine that the nation of Israel were suffering of because of being under siege from the enemy. Has anyone in your life ever felt that you're under siege from the enemy? Yeah, every single day we feel under siege from this foe, from our enemy called Satan. Now, Samaria at that time is the capital of the nation of Israel. And the king of Syria had surrounded Samaria and was intent on conquering that city. Now, King Ben-Hadad, who was named after a god called Hadad, which means God of storms or God of thunder. And listen, the Lord may be saying to someone right now already at the start of this, someone in here might be in the very core or the very heart of a storm, and there is someone in that storm with you who wants to take you out. There's someone who wants to bring you down, to cause you to lay low, to disqualify you from your blessing within the kingdom of God. And for some, he wants to eliminate you completely from life and take the very breath out of your body. The truth is this. This famine that we're talking about here in 2 Kings, this famine was actually more of a result of sin in the camp and the siege of the Syrian army. Understand this today. Israel would never have been in some of the positions they found themselves in if they'd been obedient to God and lived after the things of God. So Israel at this point once again would not have been in this position had they continued to serve the Lord and serve the Lord only. So God had allowed, or God had brought, the Syrian army in and around them in an attempt to wake them up and draw them, woo them, or bring them right back to God. But what was happening in this camp at this time was despair. Who's ever despaired? Who's ever been apathetic because of the storms, because of the situations of life that we've found ourselves in? This is the kind of position the children of Israel once again found themselves in. In fact, things had got so bad in that the Jews of Samaria had actually resorted to cannibalism. You're going to read this story when you go home now, aren't you? It's all biblical. It's all in there. They began to eat other people just to stay alive, just to survive. This is the most grim, horrific story that you could possibly read in the Word of God from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 25 and 28. And what should have changed the mind of the king and brought him to his knees instead of prompting King Jehoram to return to the Lord, he made himself want to assassinate the prophet who was actually bringing the news to them at this time. It was not a good situation. Horrific, we could say. Yet, they find themselves, the children of Israel, once again, in this brutal, brutal situation. And now their fear had heightened the whole situation. Things were bleak. Things were grim once again for God's people. And perhaps we know, and perhaps you're today, and we know people in our life today who are facing insurmountable odds and overwhelming losses. They're going through stuff right now. Perhaps we ourselves were sitting in here and we're smiling and we're looking good and we're going through the motions of life. Listen to this. We too can be captured in our mind by the entrapments of the past and a fear of the future. And it's happening every single day. It is said that the cries from the Psalms are the echoes of life. They are true to life because they are drawn from the stuff that life is actually made up of. One moment, the singer stands on the rock of hope and sings and bellows out. The next, the singer is struggling in the quicksands of despair. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've been up here 1 minute and down there in the next. 1 minute, he is shouting. The next, he is shaking. 1 minute, 1 minute, faith thrills him. The next minute, fear threatens him. The psalmist spoke like this in 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go into the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Amen. And the Lord sees your struggles today. And the Lord sees your heart. And the Lord knows where you are right now. And we're not talking about sitting in this sanctuary. We're talking about where you are in your life. All of our struggles, listen to this, and all of our victories, they have one thing in common. They have one common purpose, I believe. And that is to create within you and I an insatiable hunger for God. A deep, deep desire for God like never before. What does that mean? What does that look like? That means when I leave here today, it means I don't drop God at the door. When I leave this place today, the hunger in my heart is up. My conversations round the coffee, round dinner, are about the things of God. They're not about the menial things of life that so often we break into slander and gossip and conversation that is unhealthy. There is such a desire for God that we talk and discuss the things of God. We ask our fellow member, our neighbor in Christ, how can I become more like Jesus? This is something that cannot ever leave us. And if it leaves us, then our soul quickly moves into despair and decline and it diminishes. There must remain this insatiable deep hunger and desire for God. Now, King Ben-Hadad cut off all communication from the outside world. But while all of this was going on outside of the city, left to die were four lepers. Four lepers who could see only death by starvation or by the sword. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. And if they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will die." What an outlook. What an outlook. How bleak is one's life. And I believe that no doubt in my mind, these four men had talked over, they had discussed the situation among themselves, and obviously it appeared pretty grim to these four characters. It was certain death for them if they stayed where they were. The city would not let them back in because of the leprosy. The Syrian army would kill them if they tried to come into their camp. Everywhere they looked was death, surrounded by death. But yet we serve the God of life. We serve the God who always makes a way, even when there seems to be no way. So the Bible says they asked this kind of important question, and it's such an important question for you and I today. Why sit here until we die? And the Holy Spirit would say at this time, there's people who sit in churches week in, week out, dying. With no passion, with no zeal, with no desire, just showing up through obligation, but actually complacent, apathetic, lethargic. When the Spirit of God is saying to people today, who amongst us will rise up? And who amongst my people, like the prophets of old, will stand in the gap? Who amongst us is determined to make a difference in the kingdom of God? Who amongst us is willing to swing wide the gates of their heart or their churches and let the people in? Who amongst us has a passion for souls? We're never going to get to a place in our church, his church, when we think we've got enough people. It's not about having enough people. It's about people being born again by the Spirit of God and saved and won for the glory of God. The only way we do that is to swing wide the gates of our heart, first of all, and let the love of God overwhelm us. I quoted a song this morning in our prayer meeting upstairs, and the song was, "Give Me a Heart for Others." A longing, deep longing to win souls for you. Is that truly the cry of our hearts? Or has this complacency stepped into our life when we've become like everyone else, thinking someone else will do that job? When you said yes to Jesus Christ, you became an evangelist. You became someone who's took into the highways and byways of life and win the lost at any cost. Didn't matter what diversity or body or religion or group they came from, God says every single person is open and a candidate to hear the truth and be set free. So these men have asked the question, why sit here until we die? Listen, if you're a child of God, don't dry up. Don't become stale. Don't become comfortable. Don't become complacent. Make a choice today to say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to come out of this slumber. I want to come out of this place that I found myself in. I've just been showing up, but really, God, I'm doing nothing for you. And these four characters could have sat there and died and did absolutely nothing, and with good reason. With good reason. What those four lepers did, I believe for you and I, gives us some vital ideas for fighting against spiritual apathy. Now, I'm going to say something that might upset somebody, but this is a line I believe is really important for someone to hear today. Listen to this. Because the starting point I felt the Spirit speaking to me this week was this. This is not about how sick you are. Whether you are sick in heart, sick in spirit, sick physically, this is all to do with how hungry you are. It's not about how sick you are, it's about how hungry you are. We need to be starving for the good things of God and not laid low and not dying in our woes and self-pity and all the stuff that comes with it. Those lepers had been thrown out of the city for a reason. Their bodies are actually falling apart with this disease called leprosy. Lepers in those times, we know the story throughout the Bible, were looked upon with great disdain. They were outcasts. They were failures. They were actually deemed to be mistakes. Lord, have mercy. But I want to say to this church today, and someone needs to hear this, so hear it clearly by the Spirit today, that sometimes failure and sometimes frustration are nothing more than ushers that God uses to bring men and women into their greatest destiny. Did you hear that? Because of their own misfortune, these four men, God was about to bless the entire city and save these men from certain death. A hunger that God allowed to happen drove them to dream about what God might be able to do if they were to go into the army of the Syrians. Now understand, these men are close to death, so their situation and their hunger now calls for immediate action. And despite all their difficulties, all the ways that people looked upon them, the condition of their bodies falling to pieces, they actually found something to work with. Wow. Let me tell you a truth that you've heard a million times before, but let me say it again to you. If God has got a plan for four lepers sitting outside the city, dying in the condition they're in, thinking our life is hopeless, if God has got a miraculous plan for them to evolve into and work into, I have to believe that if you're sitting here today, that God has got a bigger plan for your life. I really believe that. I really believe that. And if you don't believe that God has got a plan for your life, what are you doing here? Every one of us should be about our Father's business, working the works that He has called us to. We know it's not by works we are saved. We are saved by grace. But nonetheless, God has called us into His kingdom to be active, to be working, to be doing, to be challenging, to be changing, to be bringing people in. We have the voice right now that must be heard, the voice of God, like the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Hey, we must be like that John the Baptist kind of person. Maybe not wearing his clothing, I'll give you that one, but nonetheless, being that kind of voice that God is looking for today in the world. So listen to this. Because God's saying some wee things to certain people this morning, and this is for someone else. Because you feel you're insignificant. Listen, there was no one insignificant in the kingdom of God. God knew you while you were in mummy's womb, and was planning your life once you committed and yielding your members and life to Him. Things were always going to change for you in your life. So these lepers are outcasts. And you know, It's not about here. It's not really here about what the lepers do next to that certain point. But the point is, it's not about how many lepers there were. But actually, what you find out about these lepers, this is important as well, they were united. And we don't often hear that about this story, but there's a bit about unity in there. Because when we get to unity, we know what happens, don't we? God commands what? He commands the blessing every single time. So there's only four of these lepers, these outcasts, these people that no one will near, no one will touch because of fear that they themselves will get leprosy. So no one's ever going to go near them. But those four men, at some point in their life, decided together, at that point in time, we are going to shake things up a wee bit. Wow. That's interesting. You know that God always uses, or normally always uses, the small things and then begins to use them for His glory and use them for His purpose? Have you ever heard about the jawbone of a donkey? We know what happened there. Have you heard about five smooth stones? We know what happened there. Have you heard about a wee boy's lunch? We know what happened there. Yet about the last drops of oil from the bottom of a widow's jar. Have you heard about those things? God used all of those things to us which mean nothing and done something absolutely remarkable. And maybe here's something for someone else today. And I'll say this to you in love because I like you a lot this morning. But hear this. Maybe someone needs to stop moaning. Because there are a lot of people moaning in the world. I'll tell you a truth. The church should not be moaning. The church should be rejoicing. Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe if you hear this morning, that's the word of the Lord for you. Shut up. Stop moaning. Get a life. Hallelujah. And maybe once you stop moaning about things, you'll begin to start focusing on the things that really matter. And that's the things that are eternal. That's the things for eternity. Maybe you need to start focusing on where you have been blessed and with what God has done for you. Now listen to this. How does their story continue? I'll read it to you. Can you not get your Bibles with you? 2 Kings chapter 5. At dusk they got up and went to the camp. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Listen to this. For the Lord had caused the army to hear the sounds of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. This is an incredible supernatural miracle. It has been said that when it comes to miracles in the Old Testament, it's not how preposterous the method may be, but how powerful God actually is. And He's powerful. Talking donkeys. They're in there. Burning bushes. It's in there. Preposterous. Manna falling from heaven. Water coming from a rock. Seas parting so that millions and millions can walk through. It's not about how preposterous or how stupid it is. It's about how great God is. And our God is great. And He will take that which seems unusable, insignificant. He will take that person who feels my life is over or this is my lot. He will take that person. He will shake them down. He will bless them. He will anoint them and He will activate them into service if their heart is open and they can get over themselves regarding self-pity and regarding complacency and actually step into the God-given calling that is upon your life. Come on. Come on. Listen to this. Verse 8. We're nearly there. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp. entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off to hide them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid that also. Verse 9. This is beautiful. Then they said to each other, "What we are doing is not right." Wow. 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 Talk about conviction of heart. You thought lepers, down and out, outcast, sometimes deemed as criminals and crooks in their day, robbing to get a piece of meat or a piece of bread, whatever they could, would take everything they could and run for the hills. But the Lord is using them at this time. Amazing. So powerful, that line. That what we are doing is not right. And maybe that's a line in your life right now that you're hearing. What I'm doing is not right. And the Lord knows your heart. And the Lord knows where you are. And the Lord knows our actions and words and deeds. And maybe you've been saying, what I'm doing is not right. And what I'm doing is not pleasing the Lord today. He goes on to say, this is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Here's my closing thought this morning. What God blesses us with, it is our duty, our responsibility. It should be our zeal and our passion to share that with others. Simple stuff. Not just material things, but the spiritual blessings too. Share what God has said and what God has done in and through your life. That's the testimony that will affect, impact, and change others. And you can read on when you go home and see how the king of Israel died because of his despising of the prophetic in that day and the rejection of the blessing of God. But listen to this. Contentment with earthly goods, that can be deemed as the mark of a saint. Contentment with our spiritual state, that is a mark of spiritual blindness. Church, let us be wary today, can we please, of spiritual apathy and contentment in our lives. Stand with me this morning if we can. We're going to sing one song in response. I am very conscious that this word is a word that's it's a difficult wee word. Because there's so much challenge. And when we hear these kinds of sermons, what happens is pride rises up within us. And we say, well, actually, I'm fine. I'm doing well. I'm at church twice a month, doing great, all is well with my soul. But that's kind of it. And I believe what the Lord is really looking for, and I just include myself in all of this, is just that renewed passion, that vigor of the Holy Spirit. But also the Lord's challenging, I believe, several in here this morning regarding this complacency of heart and apathy of mind. And I believe for some, watch what I'm saying here, this is almost like an addiction for some people. You've been apathetic, complacent for such a long time, it's like a habit. I do my thing, then I'm done. There's no stretching beyond that. And I believe with all my heart that this is an opportunity for a little bit of a breakthrough for someone today. Just a little bit of a breakthrough. And I believe, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, this is breakthrough season. No question. So we're going to go back to Psalm 42, and we're going to sing that. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Listen to me today. I in my own doubting mind, doubt that anyone would want to respond to this at the altar today, because it means something. It means something. But I would also challenge anyone who's feeling brave to come and stand here today and say, I've been complacent. I've been apathetic. I have not at any level been given my God what he deserves from me. I have restricted my movements. I've restricted my time. I've used excuses for not showing up here and there and men's, women's, and women's meetings and prayer meetings and Sunday services. I've used every excuse under the sun. I've not really been talking about Jesus to anybody. Hey, come on. This is not condemnation. This is challenge. Why? Because I am looking, and God's looking for every single man, woman, and child to rise up and be all they can be for him. And if we do, you will shake people's lives with the joy of the Lord in you and the power of his love oozing in and through your life. So we're going to sing this now. I'm done. Just Holy Spirit now. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do in this room today. And should anyone need the touch of God today to be empowered and strengthened to shake off this lethargy in Jesus' name, we pray right now, Holy Spirit, you'd come and begin to work that work in and through people's life. And if you do come, don't worry. Someone will come and pray with you really quickly this morning. Just pray the blessing, the love, and the power of God over you. Peter, why don't you come and lead us in this?
My strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, Lord of all, to my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit hear. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. You alone are my strength, shield. To you alone may my spirit hear. You alone are my heart. strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone may my spirit. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
if we remain standing, we are going to invite our kids connection to come through. They are, lots of the children going back to school this week, and it's very important that we as the church pray blessing and protection over them. So if we remain standing, they're going to appear. It'll probably get noisy in a minute. That's okay. We like it noisy. So I think Shona's going to round them all up, which is good. They are coming, I'm telling you. They're coming through. Don't hear any noise yet. There they go. Come on in. Right down here. There we go. Everybody. If anyone's going to college, you can join us as well. Just stand, face me. I'm the most handsome person in here, so just face me. Come on, right along the front here, everybody. Beautiful. Just face the front here, so I can see all your faces. Come nice and tight in, because we're going to get the elders to come and stand behind you as well, so we step forward. In you come. Don't be afraid. Hello. Don't be afraid now. Are you going to school, Lisa? Not just, no. It's a young student there. All the elders and leaders come in right behind these guys, or in amongst them, wherever you want to stand. That would be fantastic. Is anyone going to school, high school, college, university? You want to join us? We want to pray a hand of blessing upon you. Okay, so let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we love our children, but we rejoice that you love our children. So Father, give our children a thirst over these next several months for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We pray that their little hearts or their big hearts will be ready to learn this year, both at home, both at school, at church. Lord, we pray you'd open their ears and may each one of them, as they grow and develop, crave knowledge and seek it out to be the best. Father, we claim your promises today, Lord, that common sense and success belong to our children. They are theirs throughout their days. And we are praying, Lord, because we love them. We are praying you give them insight and wisdom beyond their years. In any situation they face, may they use sound judgment, because we thank you that you've given our children a sound mind. Father, give our children ears to accept instruction. Give them the desire to learn from the wise and accept correction. But also, Lord, and this is our heart, keep our children's hearts soft. Keep their hearts soft so they can gain knowledge not only from their parents, but from their teachers. And give them respect for their teachers throughout this year. Father, we also know that school year can be stressful. And for even young ones, it can be anxiety-ridden at times. And that's both for kids and for parents and school staff. But God's intervention, I believe, can bring peace to every situation. So, Father, we're praying for peace, newness, purpose, and joy. And they should serve as an encouragement to all these children in the coming year. So, Father, we pray now that you would bless and protect and cater to and protect them from foes and enemies. And may they listen to wise and good instruction. Lord, we also pray for good friends. Pray for godly friends. Or greedy. We're praying for friends who think the way they think regarding the things of God. And may they come alongside them. And through the years, may they develop these beautiful friendships that will stand the test of time. So we commit our little ones into your hands. We pray the blessing, protection, the goodness of God be upon each one of them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, just quickly before Gail is going to come up, and Pastor Debbie, do you want to come up as well and join Gail here? See, you think I forget things, but I don't forget things. Shona and Fiona, would you come here? Because they were so good at giving to everybody else, weren't they, at the prize giving. You thought I'd forgotten them. Where are you? Come on, Fiona, hurry up. Goodness. Come here. These are two of the most important people in our church. Amen. Let's be clear. Yeah. Two of the most important people. And we love them and bless them. And we've prayed the complacency out of these two. Don't worry about that. They are full on, passionate all the way. So we want to thank you for the beautiful work you do with our children and looking after them and nurturing them and teaching them and training them in the ways of the Lord. That's just a wee gesture from us. So God bless you guys. Wish it was more. Okay, now we're going to auction some of the kids off. It's a joke. Some are going, yes. Sorry, parents. We're going to uplift our tithes and offerings at this time, so you guys can run back to mums and dads if you wish at this time real quickly, or you can stay here and dance like Matthew is here at the front. Just a reminder, the large box is for your tithes and offering. The smaller box is for missions, so please come. And please rejoice as you bring your offerings to the Lord today. Sorry, just thought. I'm late. I'm still on.
Sickness, I'm treating my pain. I'm laying them down. Joy of the Lord. But not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, and His joy is gonna be my strength. The sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. Treating my sorrow, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Na 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 I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Thank you. All I've got to say is to finish in prayer. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power.